Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Proverbs, and we're in chapter 17. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
Now you got somebody to disciple, now you're doing church in your house.
And that sounds a little bit what?
New Testament.
Okay, sounds a little bit New Testament, doesn't it? They went everywhere preaching the gospel. Aquila and Priscilla, hey, this guy's a preacher, but he doesn't know his theology. Hey, come on over. We'll have some tea and some donuts. Anyway, let a person meet a bear robbed. Then look at verse 13. It says, whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. Do you know what God did? He gave us this wonderful world. He gave us creation, he gave us a conscience, and he gave us his commandments. And even if somebody is in the way of those commandments, whether it's Romanism now, it's all pageantry and pomp and circumstance, that's old news. You don't have to stay in there. Get out of there, find a Bible, start reading it, because it's not in Latin anymore. No excuses. And now you can read it for yourself. Find out, right? You get your Bible. Start reading it. God will bring somebody your way. It'll answer your questions. I found it interesting that here I am, a pastor, working in some of these job sites. And I'm with one or two people. And I'm thinking, and I've actually said it to one or two. I've said, you know, you have a pastor right here. I mean, you have any questions about God? And very rarely do they. And so if I prompt something, we'll have a conversation. But wouldn't it have been great when you were lost and you were just thinking about going and somebody's sitting there and you're like, man, this guy knows the Bible. I'm going to talk to him because he might be able to answer my question. And I just ask him, do you have any questions? Do you ever big thoughts about God? And as a believer, you ought to be able to answer some questions, obviously, as time goes on, even more. Because once you get challenged on one, didn't know it, you're going to go study it and you'll be better prepared next time. That's how it works. Well, verse 14, it says, the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. And that does mean what it sounds like. Okay, it says, therefore, leave off contention before it's meddled with. In other words, what he's telling his readers or his listeners is he's saying, listen, you've got something against God. You've got a problem with God. That's what your problem is. It's not about that. It's about you. You've got something going on. And the moment that you take the bad road, you're going to start pouring out on God and giving God the lie. You're going to tell that person things about God that you're going to be ashamed of one day. You see, we all want to justify ourselves. And if we are not in church, we're going to justify ourselves if we know we should be. Well, I used to go to church. I don't go anymore. Well, why not? Well, we were Catholic. Okay, well, I understand that. You need to find a good church, though, because God says, you know, he wants you to be there so you can learn and grow. And you walk them off the ledge. He says, therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. And the idea of meddling with it has the idea of being laid bare, till your heart be laid bare in front of somebody else. If you say something out loud, somebody said it well, you are a master of your thoughts, but you are a servant of your words. Isn't that powerful? You're a master. Somebody pushes you, weren't you in church? Didn't you used to go to church? Yeah, well, how you doing? Well, you know. What are they going to say? They're going to justify it. The Bible says in verse 15, he that justifieth the wicked and condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination of the Lord. So if you're on the wrong side of things, you're going to start saying, oh yeah, Joe here, he's my buddy. We hang out down at Park Avenue and we're just enjoying time and we get this, that, and the other. Oh, look at that. That's that old preacher. I hated him, man. He was mean. He made me feel uncomfortable. It's interesting. You're justifying the wicked and you're condemning the just because you've made a decision at the crux of one of the biggest tests you're going to have, religious disappointments. Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing that he hath no heart to it? Whenever I see wherefore, I plug in why in the world, because it's not just why, because they use why sometimes, but wherefore, where in the world, why in the world does a fool have a price for wisdom in his hand and he has no heart for it? He wants to get wisdom, but he doesn't have any heart for it. You know, when you get to a certain point, let's say you go off in la-la land and you make bank and you make money and you're carnal and you've got all this debris in your wake, but you're sitting pretty good. You got a nice car, nice house, maybe married, whatever, and things are going all right. You're lost or you're AWOL in God's economy, right? So you've got this going on. And now you're kind of thinking, well, maybe I should go back to church. Did anything change? Well, that's a good question. Maybe something did.
but maybe not.
Maybe you're just wanting to get in the Bible so they can argue. Because you know more than anybody else. Because you're smart.
I told you about my buddy, right, at work? He told us about me shaking hands, tickling a woman's palm, and she tickled back. I'm just like, what are you doing? And he's telling me this. He said, no, I used to be all legalistic.
And then he's flirting with a lady at a diner. He says, I didn't say anything to her, but I left her a $100 tip.
He says, I didn't say, I was good. Came back 3 months later. Oh, you remember me. Of course she remembers you. You gave her a $100 tip. You see my point? I mean, you get a certain point. You got all this money. You got all this stature. You got a great job. Now I want to go have a Bible study. And he does. He has a Bible study with men. And it's not really a Bible study, but he brings the Bible into it because, you know, he's got a take on how things are. My point is clear, right? You're going to get to a point where when you hit that plateau, you're going to look back over your shoulder and think, I remember fond memories when I was in Sunday school or when I was a kid or whatever. But you're not that kid anymore. You made a decision that kind of began to, you know, heap a lot of callous material on your heart. You can't even see straight. You've got to get straight with the Lord. But the Bible says in verse 17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. He's saying that's what you're supposed to be, a prince. So you're supposed to be a prince. You're supposed to be a friend. You're supposed to be your brother's keeper, loving at all times. You're supposed to be born for adversity. What's the adversity? The adversity is the spiritual confusions of the day you're living in. You need somebody to help you work that through. Don't try to do it alone. Find somebody who's honestly walking with the Lord. He says in verse 19, he loveth transgression that loveth strife, and he that exalteth his gate, or builds up his gate, seeketh destruction. You keep building walls, you don't want God to get through, you're going to find destruction on the end of that choice. And strife, look at it, verse 20, it says, he that hath a froward heart finds no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. You know what God does? It was H.A. Ironside. He said this, light received brings greater light, but light rejected brings forever night. And he says, this person's going to find no good. He's not going to find any good. He'll find every reason not to go back because that's what he's looking for. Devil will see to it, and God says, hey, you know, you chose. I'm just testing you. This is an exercise, and you're really not doing too well with it. He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his own sorrow, verse 21, and the father of a fool has no joy. A merry heart, however, does good like a medicine. The idea of joyfulness and the first verse where he talked about being a person who has this dry morsel with peace, okay, with quietness. He says, a merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. The word dries has the idea of to become withered. Withers the bones, takes the spring out of the step, makes the person pine and mourn. Verse 23, a wicked man taketh a gift. We had a man who had a gift who could turn it wherever he wants. Now somebody's taking it. You see, this passage does have a connected. The bribe earlier was in the hand of a man. Wherever he turned it, it prospered. He says, you know what? The wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. So now he's the one who's perverting the ways of judgment. Verse 24, wisdom is before him that hath understanding, so he understands. But the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. In other words, he's got a wandering desire. Wandering desire is sin, right? The eyes of man are never satisfied. You're talking to him, he's thinking, oh, there's golfing. Oh, there's music. Oh, there's something on TV. Oh. They're always looking elsewhere. They're not looking elsewhere when they're golfing, TVing, movieing, or whatever. They're all in. But when God's Word is on the menu, maybe that's a little tough because they'd rather be elsewhere. A foolish son is the grief of his father and bitterness to her that bare him. Also, to punish the just is not good, and to strike princes for equity, for their straightness is the idea. You see, this is what happens when somebody walks away from God. It's what's happening in our government right now. Good is evil and evil is good. You're punishing the good people because our church people in the country aren't church people anymore because they've decided somewhere that they're going to do something else. They've got their own ideas on how this thing works and all of it's bunk, quote unquote. And the funny thing is they don't realize that the devil's been working for 2,000 years to flood the market with a lot of mess. You're going to have to look for this pearl of great price. You're going to have to look for this answer of where you're living, a church, and ask God. He said, you will seek me, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Right? Think about this. This passage is so powerful. The challenge you and I have all had to deal with one time or another. Disappointment spiritually. The Bible says in verse 27, he that hath knowledge spares his words. He's saying, don't go out there and start giving God the lie and saying the church is no good and I don't go anymore. He says, he that hath knowledge spares his words. You don't go out and tell somebody, well, the pastor, he messed up. You this, that, or the other. You don't go out there and besmirch the body of Christ. Now, they that sin rebuke before all, right? You talk about the person I mentioned here a little while ago. I didn't name names, but, you know, this is a problem. I named him the one guy because he's in the church where the guy thinks that this guy is so great and the guy thinks of a married gay person, the most fired up Christian he knows. Now, there's a real problem. There's a disconnect there. You've got to worry about that. If your right eye offends you, and I'm not talking about offends in the sense that they made you feel uncomfortable and you're mad. I'm talking about the word scandalon in the Greek. If he scandalizes you, leave now. Find a good church where you're not scandalized. But if you're a little bit ruffled and you don't like some characteristic or some peculiarity, hey, you know, work that out. You've got to love it all times. He says, he that hath knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. And that's a good thing to be. It's a precious spirit, not the rest, like the word earlier, excellent. This word means literally valuable, prized, and weighty. He says, a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. And even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Even if he's a fool, people say, well, he didn't say anything. I've actually seen that depicted in dramas before where the guy was there and he's kind of bumping through and suddenly the next thing you know, he's promoted or something, you know. But he just didn't say anything. Oh, he must be very wise. You're not saying anything. But, beloved, we're talking about a real serious thing here. People do get messed up. Ecclesiastes 5, 1 and 2 are good to close this with. Keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and you are upon earth. Therefore, let your words be few. That's verses 1 and 2. Verse 6 in Ecclesiastes 5 says, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel or the messenger that it was an error. I didn't mean it. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of thy hand? You've heard this. You are as one who contends with the priest. This was in the Minor Prophets. I don't remember which one. But he was talking about the people of God in Israel. They were the ones who contend with the priest. People do that now. But I had a guy who walked in yesterday, and I saw him for the first time. He says, are you the pastor? You that pastor they were telling me about? Yeah. I've been having a conversation with him. He's got a son who's a Catholic in Knights of Columbus, moving up in the echelons. He's a little younger than me. And he's got a son also who's a Baptist. Why do you know? He said, let me show you their wedding. Listen to this. And the guy's got an old Southern guy. So he's like, here I am. You know, I'm another pastor who he's not got anything going on with. And we can have a conversation at lunch and break and so forth. But today I got to give him the Gospel of John. Tomorrow I'm giving him an E-track. I'm telling you guys, God is in the minutiae of life. And that's what you're looking for. But we have to be careful not to say things that we don't know enough about yet. We have to be mindful that we are stewards of the reputation of the bride of Jesus because we're part of it. And if we're not part of it yet, we're still representing it from what little we might know. So these are good verses, Ecclesiastes 5, 1 and 2, and verse 6 of the same chapter. Understand Ecclesiastes chapter 3, set the ball on the tee, and it's chapter 5 where he starts dealing with what you should do with church. He says, don't go in there and be foolish. Don't do that. God is not willing to bear with foolishness, as we might suppose. Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. And we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.